Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, the Church's World Youth Day gathering has officially opened in Sydney. And we talk to our correspondent on the atmosphere in the city as it prepares to greet Pope Benedict. And we also get some feedback from some of the young pilgrims thronging the streets there. The Archbishop of Sydney, Cardinal George Pell, looks at some of the key issues facing the Australian Church today. A US priest tells us that surveys have showed that past World Youth Days have proved pivotal in encouraging young people to become priests or religious. And finally, we take a look at the contribution of Australia's Indigenous community to the World Youth Day celebrations in Sydney.
Every nation, every tribe, come together to worship you.
The Church's World Youth Day, the largest youth event in the world, has kicked off in Sydney, Australia, and is now preparing to greet Pope Benedict. He arrived in Australia last Sunday, but has been resting at a retreat centre outside Sydney until today. On Thursday, he begins the official part of his visit with a morning meeting with the Governor-General Michael Jeffrey and then the Prime Minister Kevin Rudd before travelling by boat across Sydney Harbour to greet and address thousands of young pilgrims on the quayside. Our correspondent, Sean Patrick Lovett, is travelling with the Pope. And earlier, I spoke to him in Sydney and asked him to describe the mood and expectations there ahead of the Pope's attendance at the World Youth Day celebrations.
Sydney is, it's just drop-dead gorgeous. It's billed as one of the most beautiful cities in the world, one of the most livable cities in the world in terms of standard of living, in terms of services, in terms of transport, everything. And it truly lives up to that reputation. And the organizers of World Youth Day have taken full advantage of the city's beauties because all the major events are taking place around Sydney Harbour, with the Opera House in full view, with the bridge in full view, with the gardens. Everything has been spruced up to look its very best. Everywhere you look, there are young people. I mean, they call it a peaceful invasion, and it certainly is that. You can understand why the press and the media up until a few days ago were expressing some horror and trepidation about this invasion, because everywhere you look, they're so recognizable because they're carrying these red and yellow pilgrims' backpacks that have been issued to them, and they carry their national flags, and most of them are singing something or doing some sort of little dance. And the most wonderful thing is that they all look so happy. Everyone looks so happy, everybody looks so pleased to be here, and so they should, because most of them have travelled immensely long distances to be here and made great sacrifices to be here. They've been saving up for at least a year. Some of them have gone out and found sponsors to pay for them to be here. Certainly, it wasn't easy, even for Australians who've come from all across the continent. It wasn't easy for anyone to be here. And having travelled 24 hours on a flight from Rome, I can tell you it's not easy for us either.
Do we have any idea how many different countries are represented by all these young pilgrims that have flocked to Sydney?
I heard the number of 170 different countries. That was the number that I heard earlier today. 170 countries, yes.
That's certainly a lot. Okay, the theme of this World Youth Day is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. So this theme that talks about the need for young people to go out and spread the news of the gospel, this would seem quite an apt choice in Australia, a nation where, of course, growing secularisation is a big concern for the church, isn't it?
It's more than secularization, Susie. The word I've been hearing is, it's actually stronger than secularization. The word is indifference, just a not caring. And that, I think, is even scarier. The hope is that this outpouring of faith and joy and energy and enthusiasm on the part of the young people will do something to shake that indifference. It's not going to change the secularization. There's not a lot you can do about that. But it might give a jab at that indifference. It might make people stop, sit up and take notice. And certainly just in the very short time I've been here, the few people I've had a chance to talk to, it seems that it's a formula that is working. You can't not take notice of it because it's so obvious. I mean, literally World Youth Day has taken over Sydney. It's taken over the city, for better or for worse. And then to be overwhelmed, literally, by this deluge of enthusiastic, joyful youth, where everyone is so nice. They're all so sweet. Everybody stops to talk to you. The big question is, where are you from? Because that's the catchphrase. Where do you come from? This mixing of cultures, and not all of them are devout Catholics. It's difficult to play with statistics, but a big proportion, a big percentage of them are just young people who are here for the experience, to see what's going to happen. They're here to listen, they're here to look, they're here to experience, and then take it from there. And again, anybody who is even on the outskirts watching this can't really help not be involved or not be touched by what's happening.
And what message do you think these young people are hoping to hear from the Pope?
Well, the Pope has been very clear that the Holy Spirit is at the basis of this message. And as you said, yes, the Holy Spirit, it's a wonderful image, because the Spirit is the Spirit of love, the Spirit of energy, the Spirit of power. It's a very youthful image, the flame, if you like, that burns with youthful passion. It's the message that has been at the center of the catechesis. There are 3 days of catechesis, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and each of them centers around a theme of the Spirit. Today, the catechesis focused on calling to live in the Holy Spirit. And there were, 150 youth festival events that took place around the city, each of those focusing on that theme. The Pope sends out a daily text message. Of course, cell phones are the technological center of what's being called a virtual youth day in many senses, highly televised, highly visible on the internet. He sends out a daily text message every day, and the text message this morning was, "The Holy Spirit gave the apostles and gives you the power boldly to proclaim that Christ is risen." BXV1. So the Holy Spirit is very much at the center of that message, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power that the Holy Spirit gives to go out and proclaim the message, to witness to the message of Christ. That's the center. That's the message that the Pope is bringing to the young people and asking them to bring to the world.
Well, in addition, though, as you say, he's obviously going to focus very much on this theme of the Holy Spirit and spreading the good word. But he's probably going to talk about other issues as well. I mean, he talked on the plane going over about his concern over global warming. Of course, that's a very keenly felt topic in Australia, which struggles with drought, for instance. But there's also going to be probably, you know, the concern over the sex abuse issue, which, of course, is, you know, always been picked up upon by the secular media.
May I say, unfortunately, having lived through the Pope's trip to the United States, the sexual abuse issue was dealt with, I thought, very fairly, very, very well with the Pope's statement on the flight going over. He then met with the victims in Washington, D.C. He referred to it in almost every speech in the United States, but it wasn't at the forefront of the visit. Here, looking at the press that's preceded the visit, it's very much at the forefront. I was at a press conference this morning with the main organizer of the visit, Bishop Fisher, who was giving some feedback on, again, numbers and the atmosphere. He was talking about the opening mass that took place yesterday and Cardinal Pell's homily and the enthusiasm of the young people. And he was painting this wonderful picture of youth and excitement and waiting for the arrival of the Pope. And when it came question time, the only questions that were being asked by the journalists regarded sexual abuse. And again, was the Pope going to meet with victims, and what was he going to say about it? And I have to say, it's a little bit distracting, because something extraordinary is happening. The fact that thousands of young people are coming together to meet and to pray and to express their faith and to discover their faith, it's such a beautiful thing. I would hope that the whole other issues could be dealt with perhaps at another time. This doesn't seem to be the time to be talking about that right now.
You talked there about numbers. Do you have any up-to-date details on how many young people have come, you know, a global total, as it were, and also from Australia and the rest, from the rest of the world?
Well, according to Bishop Fisher, 2,200 have registered, but most of the young people coming in from Sydney and the surrounding areas haven't registered, because they feel they're at home anyway, so they don't need to. Then they're talking about 500,000 people being present for the welcome ceremony for the Pope's arrival here in Sydney Harbour. Again, various numbers coming out from various sources. They are calling it very much the Oceania World Youth Day. The focus is very much on young people from this part of the world, quite logically. I spoke to various young people from Polynesia, from the Philippines, from Papua New Guinea, young people from Papua New Guinea. It was the first youth day they had ever gone to, and probably be the last, because they can't get to anywhere else. So they wanted to take advantage of this. So certainly most of that number would be coming from the surrounding area, the area of Oceania, and also because it's so expensive and so far to come from anywhere else. There's a huge contingent from the United States, again, for geographical reasons, and a very large contingent from Italy. It's the second largest group after the United States.
The Pope has been at this retreat centre just outside Sydney. Now, we've heard snippets of what he's been doing and how he's been relaxing and recovering from the jet lag. Can you fill us in a bit more, Sean?
Yes, he's been writing, he has been reading, meditating, taking long walks. The area is gorgeous, and again, the weather has been very kind to him and to us, and so he's taken advantage of that to take these long walks and meet a few people. He also had a chance to meet some of what they call native Australian animals. They brought kangaroos and koalas and snakes and lizards and other strange creatures to be petted by the Pope. They all came from a local zoo called the Taronga Zoo, and it was quite entertaining, because I remember when Pope John Paul II was here, they actually had him hold a koala bear, and they were rather afraid the koala bear might mess his white cassock, and they were going to put a baby's diaper on it. This time they didn't risk any of that. The zoo personnel held the animals, and the Pope limited himself to patting them, but it was quite a sweet moment.
And so they were all on their best behaviour, these animals.
Very much so, yes.
Despite his busy schedule, Sean also found the time to go out into the streets of Sydney and talk to some of those young pilgrims that have flocked to the city from all over the world. Let's hear some of their feedback. This group of young pilgrims came from Papua New Guinea.
Well, I came here to join with the other youths from all over the world to see what's really going on within the youth and to see the many different cultures that are performed by other youths of the world.
And what message are you going to take back to your friends when you get back home to Papua New Guinea?
I'll tell them that the Holy Spirit really works, and yeah, sharing faith with people of different nations is a really good experience.
What are you going to tell your friends?
I think what I'll tell my friends is that the main focus now is on youth and how youth can make a change. I think I will tell them about what the good things that have happened, how we can strengthen our faith by empowering ourselves with the Holy Spirit, and from learning from each other and the different nations that come, and the faith that we brought, we can also learn from one another, take from them, give to them, and go back and help our dioceses back at home.
The Philippines is Asia's largest Catholic nation, and let's now listen to a group of Filipino pilgrims about why they wanted to come to the World Youth Day celebrations.
It's very important to be here because you'll have an opportunity to meet new people from different places with different languages, so you're breaking the language barrier.
Over here it's nice, and it's important to be here because as the youth, we are the critical strength of the church as a whole.
Yes, as an ambassadors of peace, so that we can break the barrier that hinders us to go as a world. One country, one people in Christ.
As we heard earlier, the largest contingent of young people thronging the streets of Sydney are those coming from the US. and this group of Americans certainly seem to be having a ball.
It's important to be here because it's like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and we'll probably never get this chance to have it again, like in our own home country, so that's really exciting.
It's good for Australia to see many different cultures so we can all get in touch with God.
It's really good uniting all the countries, and we're having a blast here. It's just so amazing to see everybody's diverse culture and meeting new people. It's just amazing.
What's the best thing about World Youth Day?
The best thing? Probably just seeing every single person from every single culture just being as one and just getting along.
What's going to happen after this?
We'll go home and have heaps of stories to tell, and hopefully our faith will be stronger.
So you're going to be going to the next World Youth Day, whatever
yes,
that is?
Definitely. Yeah.
That was Sean Patrick Lovick talking to some of the young pilgrims in the city of Sydney. Cardinal George Pell is Archbishop of Sydney, the World Youth Day host city, and in a recent interview he spoke to us about some of the key issues facing the Australian Church today.
An aspect of World Youth Day does have a missionary emphasis, both to the Catholic youth themselves, but also many of the events that happen during the World Youth Day are public. One thinks of the Stations of the Cross mm-hmm. that have become a tradition for World Youth Day. How much importance is given to missionary activity in Australia?
Well, there are many types of missionary activity. There's evangelization. I suppose there'd be quite some scope in Australia for what you might call re-evangelization. So there are very considerable opportunities. And we have not a big number, but a steady stream of adults who come into the church. Either they were without baptism or they come into full communion. They were members of other Christian denominations. So we're increasingly sensitive to that. In the seminary in which I'm in charge of, each of the seminarians has to do a couple of missions out in the parishes, out in the shopping centres, out in the streets. And we're hoping in the young priests-to-be that we will develop an even deeper sensibility to the need to evangelise, to go out and talk about Christ and offer Christ to other people.
How difficult is that in Australian society, which has become highly secular? There is some social fragmentation, as of all Western civilization seems to have gone nowadays. How difficult is this re-evangelization?
Well, there are significant differences across the Western world. Sociologically, we're somewhere between the religious situation of the United States and the religious situation in Britain. I think secularism hasn't run as far or as deeply in Australia as it has in the United Kingdom. There's much less hostility to religion in Australia than there is in the United States, but there's also considerably less religious enthusiasm. So our problem is indifference, and it's hard work to interest people. People aren't, especially the young, generally are not hostile at all, and quite a few of them are interested to hear what we have to say. But to convert interest into commitment, that's the challenge. But the World Youth Day will help that greatly, and also the Pope is a great teacher, so he'll certainly have something to say.
That was Cardinal George Pell of Sydney talking to my colleague Charles Collins. Among the many exhibitions on display at Sydney World Youth Day is one dedicated to the theme of priestly and religious vocations. Father David Toops is Associate Director of the Secretariat for Clergy for the United States Bishops' Conference. He told Sean Patrick Lovick that according to surveys, World Youth Day celebrations have played a vital spiritual role in helping many young people to discern their vocation.
Every year in the United States we do a study of the men who are ordained every year, and we call it the Class Of Project. So our class of 2008 and the 10 years previous, 30% of the men have said that World Youth Day was a pivotal turning point for them as they discern their vocation. They came to World Youth Day, they encountered Peter, they saw the Universal Church, they were inspired by other people's faith. They maybe even encountered the Eucharist, the Mass, adoration, reconciliation in a new and profound way. And it really opened them up to consider the call to a priesthood. So it has been pivotal for at least 30% of our men ordained in the last 10 years, the different events of World Youth Day.
And that's why you're here.
And that's why we're here.
That was Father David Toops from the U.S. Alleluia. Another of the numerous exhibitions on show at Sydney World Youth Day is one depicting the life and work of Blessed Mary MacKillop, who is on track to become Australia's first saint. Mary MacKillop was born in 1842 and founded the Order of the Sisters of St. Joseph, the first religious order to be founded by an Australian. Under her guidance, the order established schools and charitable institutions across Australia and was devoted to the care of orphans, neglected children, the homeless, sick and the aged. Sister Mary was beatified by Pope John Paul in 1995. Ruth Townley is a young Australian Catholic who helped organise this exhibition in honour of Blessed Mary MacKillop. She told me more about it.
Mary MacKillop is a fairly important figure here in Australia who I sort of feel embodies a lot of important values and a lot of important qualities for being Catholic youth, and I am part of that exhibition.
And what will this exhibition be actually showing? Will it be giving details about her life, her work?
Yes, it will. It will be giving... What they're hoping to convey is an idea of who Mary MacKillop was in her time as a pilgrim, and who is Mary MacKillop now? What is, if she was a pilgrim today, what would her involvement be? What would her message be?
Ruth has just spent 2 years in northern Uganda helping to rehabilitate former child soldiers who were held captive by the Lord's Resistance Army rebel group there. In the light of this experience, I asked her what message she was bringing to the World Youth Day gathering.
The message that I would take to World Youth Day for the young participants to learn, my thoughts start at 2 points. One is that my understanding is that when Jesus was born, they were expecting a military leader, a political leader, who would bring glory back to that earthly kingdom. And what they got was a man who spoke his truth, which was a message of love your neighbour, without qualifications around that of, does my neighbour look like me? Does my neighbour worship God in the same way as me?
I was speaking there to Ruth Townley from Sydney, Australia. The unique traditions of the Australian Aboriginal people are very much in evidence during the World Youth Day celebrations in Sydney. There are displays of Aboriginal dances, and Indigenous themes and symbols have been included in the scheduled activities during the six-day event in honour and recognition of the original inhabitants of the Australian continent. Father Israeli Ras is himself Indigenous and is a Catholic chaplain who ministers to the Aboriginal community in the Alice Springs area of Central Australia. He was planning to take nearly 90 Aboriginal young people to the World Youth Day celebrations, and I caught up with him just before they left for Sydney. I began by asking him about what examples of Aboriginal traditions and culture are on display during the World Youth Day.
From our group here in Central Australia, we have enlisted 30 young people to dance their cultural dance during the opening mass, where we will welcome the international pilgrims. I've also heard that the Torres Strait Islanders will very much form a guard of honour for Pope Benedict when he arrives. There'll be a lot of body painting, symbols, dancing, didgeridoo. They'll all be part of this celebration and, you know, providing the liturgy with all the richness of their own cultural ways.
Now, I gather that there's been an Indigenous message stick that has accompanied the cross and icon across Australia in the run-up to this World Youth Day celebration. Tell us something about this Indigenous message stick. Describe it for us, if you like.
Yes, the Indigenous message stick, it's about 50 to 60 centimetres in length. It's beautifully coloured with dot paintings around it. But there is a message there on the stick, and the message is for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait youth specifically to come to Sydney. However, the overall message is for the young people of Australia to welcome the Indigenous contribution because that was very much part of the late Pope John Paul II's speech, that the indigenous people of Australia contribute to the life of the church. And then he added, hopefully, the mainstream community or migrants or other people who come from outside of Australia will welcome their contribution. So the message stick is a very significant symbol.
And how do the indigenous people feel in general about the World Youth Day celebrations?
Well, generally, as far as I'm concerned here in Central Australia, there's a very positive, encouraging and exciting thing that is happening for them, because I heard that the World Youth Day, you know, will not be World Youth Day without their participation. They are really excited about this because it's an opportunity for them to showcase, you know, the 40,000 years of culture and tradition and you know, the wisdom of the past. So they're very excited about it. So it's a great opportunity, really, for them to attend the World Youth Day and show the world what they can contribute to the life of the church.
However, the indigenous people, as you well know, face many problems such as poverty, high unemployment, discrimination, widespread alcohol abuse, and indeed sexual abuse of children. Are you hoping that Pope Benedict will speak about the difficulties the indigenous community faces during his visit? And if so, what are you hoping he will say?
I am very much looking forward to Pope Benedict's speech and his message to the young people of the world. At the same time, I hope to hear, if at all possible, for Pope Benedict to address something about the fact that the present government has said sorry to the indigenous peoples of Australia for the harm that has been done. And it was a very significant thing for Australia as a nation, a beginning of healing, you know, for healing for all of them. So I hope the Pope can use that as a positive thing, you know, for the nation and for the young people to be able to say, look, this is very much part of history of Australia and an accepted part of history. And the government has said, sorry, let's all support the movement for healing and reconciliation in this land. So that's what I'm hoping for, that the Pope will address something along that line.
You're taking a group of young Indigenous people to the World Youth Day celebrations in Sydney. What are their feelings? I mean, how excited are they to be seeing the Pope?
They're very excited, actually. At the same time, absolutely nervous, because the majority of young Aboriginal people I'm taking, they've never set foot in Sydney. They've never been to a big city. They've never been on this big plane. Yes.
And to sum up then, so what do you believe will be the main benefit of the World Youth Day celebrations for these Indigenous young people?
I believe that the World Youth Day will really have a big impact generally on the local church in Australia, becoming very secularized. Sydney, I know, will become a spiritual center. Prayers and catechism and songs of praise and meeting other people. I'm absolutely convinced that the World Youth Day will help the young people to learn more their faith, their Catholic faith, and revitalize the church in Australia to become young again.
I was speaking there to Father Israeli Ras, Catholic chaplain in Alice Springs.
Well, that's all from Vatican Radio's English program for today, but we'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow. Laudato Jesus Christus.